initiating spiritual growth in the church. By Paul Bucknell. Translated from English into Chichewa by Roderick Banda. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom. www.foundationsforfreedom.net. Releasing God's truth to a new generation. Session 9, Level 3. The Fathers. 1 John 2, 13-14. Explaining how mature Christians establish their faith. A number of these materials have come because we've had an urgent task on our hands. We work with university students at different levels. Many come from 1 year to 6 years. And so we have to, often they come from mainland China, they're atheists, they don't know anything about the Bible. But they're very receptive.
Mm-hmm.
They probably already have a PhD or working on one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take them, lead them to the Lord. Train them, and then they become leaders. Leaders of small groups in the church. And if they stay around, which is not many, then they can even become leaders in the church. But most of the people that come, go. And so, how are we going to get trained leaders within a short amount of time? We can certainly use this method of discipleship and purpose training. Now what I'd like to do today is, in this first session, is to talk about the third stage, the fathers. Strengthening our faith. Now I want you to put back in your mind that river over there, the Shire River. If you take a branch or a leaf, you go to the middle of the bridge, you drop it down.
It
goes down, if it's a leaf, it goes down slowly. Once it touches it, God has purposed to put life in us, which just grows. It's a secret force. Secret in the sense you can't see it, but it's happening. And so as we plan and understand things in light of that growth, that life, then we can be more strategic. Yes, we will meet up with people that don't seem to have any spiritual interest. They might have been in the church for many years. Or it might be a new believer you're trying to follow up. But what we find is this. Go back and see if they really have spiritual life. Do you remember the signs of life?
There's also signs of the crying, the breathing, the movement.
Kulira, kupuma, komanso mendebe asmazualo.
There are also signs of spiritual life.
Komanso pali zizindikiro za moyo wa uzimu.
And one of them is a desire to please God. Another one is to read God's word. So if they don't have those basic interests, it could be sin. But we got to check underneath the sin. And if I don't really see that interest, I begin to wonder whether they really know the Lord.
And
so I go back from the beginning. I begin to check out that new life. Can you tell me how you came to know the Lord? Now, what were the signs of your that you really came to know God?
And
which way have a good conversation. And then if I still see that he still thinks he's a believer, you could explain. Well, you know, I find something interesting here. I know that you say you're a, what happens when a person comes to the Lord, he has that new life.
He
has that thirst in God. But if you don't have that thirst later on, then either there's some sin blocking that, or perhaps you're not, never really were a genuine believer.
Yeah.
And so see the response. They might want to come to know God. Can I show you how you come, a person really comes into God's family? So, anyways, with this new life, it's something we're counting on.
And
with that flow, there's that life. Today we're talking about the fathers. And like on the other sessions, I want to start with some questions. What is the design that God has for each believer? Talked a little bit about that with Ephesians 4, 11-13.
11-13.
And you'll find that actually as we discuss more and more, you'll connect things. That's on purpose. Trying to show you how different parts of the Bible agree with each other. We're going to ask the question, how does God lead us into a deeper, intimate time or communion with Him? You might have the question, how can I grow as a believer in this third stage? And how does serving fit into our lives? Now we're not just thinking about our lives again, we're thinking about the believers, right? And do we ever stop growing? Sometimes we grow this way and then we stop. And then we tend to grow a little more this way. But spiritually, we always keep growing. Or let me put it this way, there's always room for spiritual growth. I was reading about King Saul this morning. King Saul. And he was a man with a good example of what happens when you stop growing. When we find God's grace taken from him. And a spirit of jealousy upon him. But we can keep growing.
Like
King David. Let's pray as we continue. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for the mighty word of God. Come speak to us. Enrich and strengthen us. Oh Lord, we desire to know more of you, more of your word. Come further soften our hearts. Block out the evil one and his influence. The word of God might be carefully stored in our hearts and minds. Now bless us, we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look. Go back to 1 John 2:12-14. Now I've been trying to encourage you. Remember, it's by careful study, reflecting on God's word, that he begins to teach us. And you can say, oh, we read things about the little children. We read things about young men. Well, what does he say about fathers? Can you help me again? Anybody?
Ali pamina koza kunena kuti ndimezi vende zvikakamba zvotani zatate.
We're studying the passage 1 John 2:12-14 if you're new with us today.
When you hand chapter 2 ndime 12 kuleza 14 ndipamene tikufunzira mmawau.
And the answer is not going to be from what we said before but what we see here John saying about the Father.
Yankula funso limene silichokela pazimene tidakambira nadzulo koma tione kuti kodi lero akamba zvotani zvokudza atate.
He wrote two times to the Christians at this church. And through what he said, he's trying to emphasize something. Anybody? Okay, you know him who has been from the beginning. Okay, he wrote to the fathers two times. What else does he say? Excuse me? The same thing, yeah. Yeah, he repeated himself, didn't he? When you open up even the New Testament Greek, you say, he wrote exactly the same thing. So in other words, it wasn't like there's something new. His summary statement for the fathers only needs to be emphasized. Only needs to be repeated so it's imprinted on our minds. Okay, while you have your Bibles open, I want you to tell me, how does he introduce these three groups? In what order? Anyone? Who does he mention first? The children?
Anna? Young men?
Who's? Fathers? And then? Young men. Right. Do you find anything unusual about that? Is that the way you do it here in Malawi? If you had little children, if you had a young person and you had an older person,
Kodi mumatero kuno kumalawi kuti mumambira mwana kenaka wankuru kenaka kubwera kumnyamata.
Would you start with the children, then introduce the fathers, then the young person?
Kodi mumamba kulangula za ana kenaka za tate kenaka za nyamata?
No. How would you do it?
Mumamba kwa bani?
Nyamata, then atate.
Children, young people,
okay.
Fathers.
All right. Is that the only way you do it? I know there's some societies they go by age, by the highest age. They go by the honor of the oldest, they introduce first. Then you work down, the young man, then the children last. In biological development, if you study, we could see the child, young man, and then the father. So it's important for us to think, why is it this order? I have a suggestion. I thought about this a bit. Because it's unusual. But what I'm thinking is that it's just that when there's a young child, you're thinking about what that child's going to be when he grows up. The young person is just, it's temporary. The child is temporary. But you have your vision on, oh, maybe one day he'll be a pastor. I pray for my sons. So far, God hasn't called them. But I pray for
them.
Yeah. You think, oh, one day, you're looking at the full design. One day they'll be married, have children.
And
I was talking to one brother yesterday, he had 11 grandchildren. I only have two. But they grow up. And that's going to be their adulthood, is where they're focused. And that goes back to what Ephesians 4 says. When he thinks about the saints, he's thinking about them and their full development. Okay, when you plant a mango seed, you plant maize. It's nice to see that they start growing. But you also start thinking, oh, one day it's going to be big. Oh, and then there will be some maize that can break off. Or the fruit tree will have some fruit. Right? That's what you're thinking of. You kind of bypass that middle stage. And so this is the pattern that God has for us to put in our mind, even for a young person, that end design. The goal for every believer is maturity. Now, as we look at this passage in 1 John, we remember that he said the same thing to the fathers. He's writing to the fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Now, in a minute, we're going to go over
And for apati karati ku one dimensions
and discuss a little bit more what this implications of that passage.
Could
we do a little review here before we go on? Okay, we have the new believer, the little child. Okay, there they are discovering God's love and acceptance. Why? Well, when a baby is accepted, then he'll go through life feeling accepted.
Trust.
But if that baby maybe cries a lot and you just don't want to really hold the baby, you don't really want to care for the baby. You already had 5 children and you really don't want another child. Then that baby will feel not accepted and loved. And then they grow up doubting. Insecure. So all through their life, they're going to have those problems. I'll show you how this works more in the next seminar, if you can attend on Thursday, Friday, the parenting seminar. But that's where they discover love and build up trust, basic trust in life. And in our society where I come from, I live in an inner city and a lot of homes are all broken up. The families are broken. They might never see their father, or maybe once in a while. Many of them grow up to be juvenile delinquents. By 16 to 18, most of them will be in jail. They've already committed crime several times. That family is so important. But if you don't have that element of trust, then they're looking for attachment to gangs and other problems. Spiritually, this is so. We want to nurture that faith that that young child has. Okay, discovering love. Repeat, please. Discovering love. Everybody, discovering love. Okay, for young men, establishing hope. Now, young men are struggling. They're trying to fight temptations. Sexual temptations. Lying temptations. Pride temptations. Sometimes they fall. But they learn from God's word how to be strong. And then they learn how God's word can help them. And that hope. And that hope is like a brother to faith, a cousin to faith, and builds it up. Not this father stage.
It's
where we're strengthening faith. Repeat after me, strengthening faith. Strengthening faith. And this is where we find deep intimacy with God comes. And just like growing, you have to grow, develop mentally before you can reach adulthood. Have you been able to identify what group you're in? Well, in this stage, as you get to full adulthood in a believer, you keep growing with God. I want to point out several things here. And the first thing is strengthening faith. Especially the aspect of reproductive. Now through today, I'm going to try to show you a little more practically how discipling or mentoring works. Now I've said before that fathers here in this third stage doesn't just mean men. And to emphasize that includes women, I want to turn to Titus 2, verses
3-5.
Titus chapter 2, verse 3-5. Older women, likewise, are to encourage the young women to love their husbands, love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored.
Mumemonso akazi okalamba akale nawo makalidwe oyenera anthu oyera akale nawo makalidwe oyenera anthu oyera osa dielekeza, osa kodwa nacho chikondi chapa vinyo, akupunzita zokoma, kuti akalangize akazi angono, akonde amuna ao, akonde ana ao, akareo zileta odeka, ochita mnyumba mao, okoma, akumbela amuna yoka, kuti mao amulungu, angajitulu mano.
Do you see the pattern here? He's instructing older women to mentor younger women. He's not just simplifying by just saying, well, just be a mother, take care of your children. He identifies a number of areas where women need to grow so that the word of God is not ashamed. Notice, love their children. I was just talking about that. It's right here. And you might struggle with that. Of course, you take care of your child. But your heart has to turn to the child. The older one wants to train the young mother how to be pure. How to dress, how to talk properly. I know a lot of wives have struggles with being submissive, subjective to their husbands. But many young women are struggling, how can I ever listen to him? These young women would be so encouraged if an older woman would come and mature in faith and tell them about how to encourage
them.
Don't you think so? Oh, you're having this struggle. Let me share how I had some of these struggles in the past, but God's helped me. No, so we pass down, we're not only reproducing in terms of physically,
We are
reproducing our faith. Now, animals don't do that. God gave them what we call instinct. They just naturally build nests, naturally go looking for food. But people can be lazy and not go to work. They can be impure. They can handle relationships wrong. So when we think of reproduction, it's the father stage. The father is a father because he has a child. I want us to think about what we're passing on to our children. Just this morning, I was reading about passage in 1 Samuel. You know, it's interesting that when Israel demanded a king in 1 Samuel 8, Samuel was getting old. But the elders, verse 4, the elders of Israel gathered together and told Samuel, you know, you're growing old.
Verse 5,
he says, hey, we want a king. Do you notice the reason they give? Now Samuel was a great prophet and judge. But he failed in an area. He didn't train his children to love and obey God. Perhaps if he did better, then the Israelites would say, yes, let them follow on in Samuel's path. Verses 1 to 3 even more clearly explain how Samuel's son did not obey. You know, sometimes we want our children only to imitate the good parts of our life. But actually they imitate the bad parts, and sometimes even more. You know, since I've been reading some of these things, I try to think, especially we're talking about disciples here, what are we passing on to our church members? A father has children. I remember once going to church a couple of years ago. I was walking along the way on, you know, about approaching the church building. I walk quicker. I'm up ahead of everybody. My oldest son behind me. He says, hey, Dad! I said,
what?
I think I'm wearing your shoes. I looked down at my shoes. And then I said, yeah, these do feel different. It brought to my mind, my son is growing up. We only have so much time with our people. Can we not be a little bit more strategic in thinking about how to pass over what is so important?
Kodi sitingakhale pansi kulingalira kuti kodi ndi chani chofunika kwambiri chimene ndiyenera kuti ndiwagawire anthu amene ndimakhala nawo.
One thing I have emphasized, I will still emphasize today.
But chinthu china chimene nthawi zambiri ndimatsindika polankhula ndipo lenonso ndichitsindika.
That one of the easiest ways to help people learn
kuti njira imodzi yothandiza anthu kuti aphunzire bwino.
Not just to do it well,
sikungochita kapena kuphunzitsa bwino ayi.
And to kind of disguise your life and sense of doing everything perfect.
Kapena kukhala moyo wophiphiritsa kuti ndioneke ngati kuti zinthu zonse moyo wanga zili bwino.
But sharing your stories when God was teaching you something.
Koma kugawira anzanu zimene Mulungu wakhala ali kuchitirani moyo wanu.
So one of the things I began to do,
chinthu china chimene ine ndidayamba kuchichita,
is that I would say, well, what do I want with my young sons as they grow up?
Ndimakhala ndikudzifunsa kuti chimene ndikufuna kuti ndi ana akamakula achite ndichani.
I remember myself, when I get a certain age, I really don't want to listen to parents.
Ndino ndimakumbukira moyo wanga mbuyo kuti padafika nthawi imene nditafika msinkhwina wake sindinkawamvera makolo anga.
And so I began thinking,
ndidamba kulingalira,
well, how am I going to prevent that?
Kuti kodi ndizani kuti ana anga asachite zimene ine ndikachita.
It's that point when they need guidance most is when they begin to ignore the parents' direction most.
Ndimsinkhu umene amati akafika amafuna wina atapangira zoti achite chifundi msinkhu umene nthawi zonse amakhala osamvera makolo.
Sometimes they make all sorts of bad decisions.
Ndipo nthawi zambiri amapanga maganizo amene amakhala olonga miyoyo yawo.
So I sat down with my son.
Ndidakhalebe pansi mwana wanga.
When they're like 8 years old, you know, they're really excited to meet with dad.
Kuti anyamata akakhala zaka 8 amakhala okondwera kwambiri namafuna kuti nthawi zonse akhale pafupi ndi dad.
But things will change soon.
Koma kosedwapa zinthu zimamba kusintha.
But I said, you know, what I want to do is just have some good conversations with you.
Ndine management ndikufuna kupanga ndichakungoti abasi tikhale pansi tizijeza.
I want to share some things about my life.
Ndifuna ndikuze kwambali ina yamoyo wanga.
I didn't do everything right.
Asudi moyo wanga udaenda muzoko mazokhazokha.
But I'd like to encourage you and, you know, strengthen you.
Koma ndifuna ndikulimbikitse.
So I did. I started sharing that. I shared some insights from the Bible.
Ndine ndidapanga zimene zvinditamuza zvamoyo wanga komaso ndidamuza zvimene mawu amunga amanena.
And I can even reprove them. Hey, you know, do you think this was best?
Ndipo matau kunena kuti kodi ukudzwa ukuganiza kuti zvinditachita zvizvabwino.
So even to today I can sit down and I call my sons, "Hey, I want to meet with you today or you?"
Tsono zvimene zvindizvene ndimachita ndiwana anga ndimakhala nawo pansi ndimaitana. Leo ndifuna ndikhale pansi ndiwe koma tsuli ndifuna ndikhale ndiuyu.
And so we have that time where you can just sit down.
Tsono ndinthawi imene tiyenera kuti tizikonza kuti tikhale nawo pansi anathu.
And talk about things.
Ndikumakamba nawo za zinthu zimene mmoyo anakumana nazo.
And if I sense they're not very talkative.
Ndi ndikangona kuti akonde kuti akumangika safuna kuti azilankhula kwambiri.
More than often, I'm trying to think, where are they struggling?
Then ndi malingalira kuti kodi ndi pasi mmoyo wawo pamene
when I go back in the histories of my life,
then the mabwelela so kumaganiza za my stage amene moyonga omoyendamo,
did I ever struggle with that problem?
Ndino kole kuti ndi vuto limene ndipolipo,
not wanting to read the Bible,
kuti sindikalinga mawu Mulungu,
problems with parents,
kuti zovuta ndi makolo,
you know, not knowing what I'm going to do with my life,
osadziwa kuti kodi moyo wanga ndidzachita nawo chani.
And I start sharing.
Then namba kwa fono kwa zera kwa gavira.
You know, so preserving that relationship so you can talk is as important as talking, if not more.
Tsono kusunga ubale umenewu kuti mukhoza kumakhala pansi kumakambirana. Zikhoza kukhala zothandiza komanso zikhoza kupereka mpano kuti muzikambirana zinthu zambiri.
Now talk more about how to maintain that relationship.
Tsono kufunika kumakamba masiku ena atikambapo ndithu kuti kukhoza kupanga banji. Kuti ubale umenewu pakati pa ife ndi ana athu ukule.
But when we're thinking about fathers, I want to think about reproduce.
Koma pamene tikukamba za atate ndifuna kukamba za kubereka kuchulukana.
We want to bear fruit.
Tiyenda kubala zipatso.
That is so critical and important.
Ichi ndichofunika kwambiri.
Not just numbers, but quality. God has a design for every young child as well as every person in the church. Let me go on and talk about intimacy. So in the first, we were talking about what a father really is. He reproduces. But we notice here also, I write to you fathers because you know him. You have a relationship with God. God Almighty. Now what is this relationship like? I'd like to suggest that God wants to get closer and closer in that relationship. How do you know that? Well, why else would he say, pray without ceasing? Why else do you think he'll walk with you every day, wherever you go? Why else does he make it so you ask him something and then he'll come along and do that? Try to pay attention up here. But the intimacy is important. In fact, God is saying that relationship you have with him is one of the reasons, the main reason, he has chosen you. Have you ever realized why God saved you? It's so he can be close to you. In the garden, the Almighty God was walking with Adam and Eve. I don't know if you have time to take a walk with your wife or with your children. But you might find yourself walking down the road someday, maybe a couple of kilometers. And you're feeling pretty lonely. It's pretty hot out there. Just remember, God's right there. Are you with me today? Are you actually with me today, walking along the road? Sure I am. I've always been here. Most of the time you don't notice me. But I'm with you. You know, he really wants to cultivate that. Well, let's look at John 4:14. John 4, verse 14. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. What is God saying here is that within the relationship that we have with him, the way the Spirit of God comes into our life, it wants to create that joy of relationship. That presence of God. So I know, Roderick, I get to know him, talk to him. Sometimes he's busy, sometimes I'm busy. Well, okay, we do our best. But But how am I going to get to know Roderick more? How is he going to get to know me more? Well, we talk. We do things together. See, I know Roderick. But I can know more. And I know you have some friends from way back. I'm sure Roger can say a whole lot of stories about his friend here. Maybe we'd all like to listen. I don't know. And, vice versa. But the same thing is true with God in our relationship. God's interested in our work. But our work is that fruit that comes from our relationship with God. The relationship is that spiritual life. And from that contact, that connection, you bear fruit. So it goes deep. It's like a well that continues to flow. So there's many difficult things in life. But as you work with him, you will cultivate that. And you will grow in that faith. Now I want to focus here on the number three is the depth of our relationship. Again, we're focusing. You know him. Who?
Do
you realize he doesn't say the word God here, does he? He doesn't say you know God. He doesn't even say you know the Father. Why? Because there's something else that John is hinting at. He goes to a very vague description, but still identifying who he's talking about. You know him who has been from the beginning. And what he's doing is painting a very broad picture of God himself. And can I suggest here is what God is saying, what God's trying to say to us, he doesn't want just a casual relationship. He wants to reveal the depths of who he is with each one of us. The depth of relationship. In Romans 11:36. It says, for from him, and through him, and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen.
Romans 11:36. Amen.
Now, I want us to be humbled in a proper way here. Here you have the Almighty, Eternal, a powerful God who doesn't just say, okay, I'll take care of you. He has made us so he can be close to us. He is waiting for each one of us to step closer to him. And then he'll step closer to us. It says that in James. Draw near to God, God will draw near to you. There is no limit in getting to know God in a greater and more wonderful way. You know, some of us have met God in special ways. And some of us were just talking about those old days. That was not to, meant to say, well, that's where our relationship stops. That was to show you, this is the way you come. Do you remember that time when you were really struggling, you prayed and he came to your side? He gave you a peace or joy. It was hard to tell to anyone. He wants to do it again. He wants to cultivate our trust in Him and be able to see more of His glory.
And
this is the picture He gives us in the book of Revelation, doesn't
it?
He's going to bring us right on our throne, or His throne. Actually, Ephesians 4 to 8, 7, tell us that He's not only saved us, that we are risen with Christ, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And most of our eyes are blind. We're focusing on the things around us. But you must pause in your life. And talk to Him. And try to see what's on His mind. You can actually ask Him things, talk to Him. Let me share from Genesis 22 to amplify this a bit. Genesis 22, it talks about Abraham. Genesis 22, I'll first read these verses 12 to
14.
But this story is much greater than this. Genesis 22, starting 12 to 14. But the angel of the Lord called to him, to Abraham, from heaven. He said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes, looked, beheld, behind. He saw a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abram went and took that ram, offered the ram up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said today, that in the mouth of the Lord, it will be provided.
Genesis 22, 12, 14, Mamungu, usamchitile ye kantu, chifuwa tsopano ndidziwa kuti iwe umuopa Mulungu, pakuti sunandikanize iwe mwana wako wayekha. Ndipo Abraham anatukula maso ake nayang'ana taonani, pambuyo pake nkhosa ya mphongo yogwiridwa ndi nyanga zake mchiyango yango. Ndipo anauka Abraham nakatenga nkhosa ya mphongoyo naipereka nsembe yopsereza malo mwamana wake. Ndipo Abraham anatcha dzina lake la maloho Yehova Yire, monga ati lero lomwe mphiri la Yehova chidzaoneka.
It's a powerful passage.
Ndimemene ndi yamphamvu.
But I want to take it back and connect it to fatherhood.
Koma ndifuna kuibweretsa kuti tiyilumikize ndi nkhani yokudzaza ati.
There's several questions should come to our mind when we read it. Why did God ask Abraham to offer up his son if he had a ram all there anyways?
Well,
Or if God was planning to give up Abraham to give his son, then why did he give him a son in the first place? Let me just suggest. Abraham, when he was young, his name was just Abraham. Right, and his name meant father from the Hebrew. And God called him. And he was faithful. He, by his faith, stepped forward and went to that land God promised and pointed to. Remember, God promised him many things. And eventually, he changed his name. It would be Abraham. Father of many nations. Now you have to understand God is doing something here. How would you like everybody to call you father? I'm sure Abraham liked that name. But only for a while. Because he didn't have any children. Oh, what's your name? Abraham.
Abraham.
Oh, yes. Where's your children? Well, you know, you can. It's easy for one or two times. But then one or two decades pass. Tens and tens of years are passing. The name becomes a struggling point. Don't you think he struggled with what God meant by calling him Abraham? Don't you think he struggled with God's calling that you would be a father and have all this land? His wife even gives up on the vision. Perfectly legal in their society, you know, just go into my maid, you'll have a child. Well, that didn't work out too good. And even down to today, we have problems with inheritances. But the point is this. God wanted to cultivate a closeness to Abraham. And he was willing to put struggles in Abraham's life until Abraham finally understood and would draw close to God. It took a long time for Abraham. But by the time he got here, when he had that son, it would be a son that he would prize. It would be more important than anything. That's why he was living. And he even believed God, throw that son all, you know, the nations would be blessed. Hold. Then God asked him to give up that son. See, this is the test. Are you living for your own mission? What you see your life to be culminated in, a big church or whatever it might be. I want a church with hundreds of people. Are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to say that a relationship with God and obedience is more important? Or when you finally have it, you treasure it so much that God is somewhere over here. What's happening in this third stage? Temptations happen. But you've learned to fight temptations. But they occur in a much more subtle way. Probably every day I'm aware about 7 temptations that come to my mind. And by God's grace, I keep, you know, trying to respond properly. But there's these life situations by which God is designing that you would step closer. It's a crisis. It's the hardest thing in your life. He's asking, what do you really want most in life? Do you want something? Or do you want me? What is it, my brothers and sisters?
Jehovah.
Oh, that God might dwell in our hearts in His fullness. Oh, that God might take me closer to Himself. But remember, there's going to be some struggles. Testings more fierce than anything you could imagine. And like Abraham, he's going to have his Isaac. And upon Isaac, all his dreams and visions are there. What good is it if you have the whole land, if you have no children? You have the best farm in the world. Who am I going to give it to? What significance is that?
What is it in the pendulum?
You see, God wants to bring our hearts closer to Him. And that's why God will work in our lives in special, significant ways. Jesus uses the symbol of the pruning in John 15 to help us to understand how this works. The branch was bearing fruit, but he'll go back and cut that branch off. His purpose? It'll grow more. But meanwhile, for a short while, that's one thing he was doing in my life when I was sharing yesterday. And he's doing it in your life in different ways. Abraham, did you notice he got up early in the morning before he could see his wife? We find that he didn't even explain what was happening to Isaac. I got the wood. Where's the offering?
Tonight,
you We don't know all the turmoil in his Abraham, but he was a man that established his faith here.
Siti kujua kuti mkati mwake Abraham mambabanji, koma chimodzi chimene tidziwa, adakhazikitsa chikhulupiriro cha Mulungu mmoyo wake.
Abraham, Abraham.
Abraham, Abraham.
God steps in.
Mulungu adabwera mmoyo wake.
I'm here.
Ndili pano Ambuye.
Don't put your hand against your son.
Chonde, usachita chilichonse ndi mwana wako.
For now I know you fear God.
Pakuti tsopano ndidziwa iweyo umamuopa Mulungu.
Since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me.
Pakuti sudakanize mwana wako mmodzi khale.
Now God here of course is also helping us to understand more of God's love for us.
Tsono Mulungu amapangitsanso kuti ifeyo tifike pamulingo tikonza kumvetsetsa zachikondi chake pa ife.
Because God went through that himself.
Pakuti Mulungu amachita zimene zimayeka.
He sent his only son Jesus to die for us.
Adapereka mwana wake mmodzi yekhayo kuti afere maloma machimo athu.
But in case of Jesus,
umachifacha Yesu,
he carried the wood on his back.
Yesu adanyemula mtanda uja pamsana pake.
But he did lay on that offering for us.
Koma adapereka chimene chifacha machimo athu.
He was the sacrifice.
Yeye analinsembe.
God's love is so much for us.
Chikondi cha Mulungu pa ife chikulu kwambiri.
And he's calling each one of us, don't treasure the things on earth.
Ndipo akuitana aliyense kwa ife, natuza kuti chuma chathu tisachunjikira mdzikoni lapansi.
There is something much greater.
Kuti chira chake chabwino kwambiri.
Open your eyes of faith.
Sekuyani maso anu achikhulupirira.
And you'll see the jewels.
Ndipo mudzaona koma zinthu zamtengo
pakati. You'll see the glory.
Mudzaona ulemerero.
You'll see the light from heaven coming.
Mudzaona ukumwamba uri kubwera.
He's still waiting.
Akudikidapo.
He's still calling us step by step.
Akadajizanabe pangono ndi pangono.
Be faithful.
Khalani okhulupirira.
Be man and woman of God.
Khalani amai ndabambo umdziwa Mulungu.
Not because you have a title, pastor or bishop or something.
Osa dispejozi mumbachega busa bishop ukapena dzinali nalilonse.
But because you have met with him in the tent.
Komachifacha kuti mokumana naye mukanyumba kacha.
God stepped in.
Mulungu adalo amai.
And why did he step in?
Tsadaga adalo amai
because he knows you want to meet with him.
Chifaya ari kudziwa kuti ndiye mumbafunitsitsa mukakhala naye.
I like talking to Roger.
Ndimba ngonda kulankhula ndi Paul.
He likes talking to me.
Ndimba ngonda kulankhula so ndine.
But if he didn't really was interested,
koma akakhala kuti alibenda ndechibi.
Oh, we have a friendship.
Atikozo khala pa bale.
But it wouldn't grow very.
Koma sichinga kule uchibale chimene.
But when we have that desire, you see.
Koma tikakhala ndi kumba kumba kwa moyo kumene.
God come in deeper and deeper way.
Mulungu amadza koma makuya makuya kwambiri.
God is doing something. He's taken our arrogance, bringing it to humility.
Mulungu alikuchita china chake kuti akuchotsa kuma mtima kwathu nabetsa kudzichepetsa moyo wathu.
He's taken our ignorance.
Akuchotsa umbuli wathu
and given us wisdom.
Kumatipatsa nzeru.
There's that revelation there.
Palivumbulutso pamenepo.
He's changing our attitudes.
Alikusintha maganizidwe athu.
There's more and more refining of our soul that happens at this third stage.
Akutikonza kuti umba kuti khale mu mlingo mene mwinyaka mafunda.
We're never perfect.
Sikuti ndife angwirwa.
I know some teachings say that you can be.
Ndikudziwa kuti dziphutso zina zimatero kuti mukonza kukhala woyera mtima wangwiro.
I see it more and more that God keeps revealing other areas that need to be worked on.
Koma ndimaona kuti nthawi zonse Mulungu amandiulira zinthu zimene ndiyenera kuti ndikonze mmoyo wanga.
Fathers are reproducers.
Atate,
fathers
amababa
are shapers.
Atate ndabusa oweta.
Like some clay, we're shaping our children, shaping our disciples in a certain way.
Monga mene ombambi amachitira kuikonza kuti khale mubinonse ndipo Mulungu atate ama nchito yawo ndiko kukonza zinthu zikhale bwino.
We will face crises in our life.
Tidza kumana nazo ndithu zokoma mmoyo wathu.
Ah, but they're carefully crafted by God.
Koma zonse zoti zidakonzedwa ndikuumbidwa ndi Mulungu.
He wants you to win.
Akufuna ndithu inuyo mupambane mugonjetse.
Because he wants your heart.
Chifukwa akufuna mtima wanu.
He's looking for your faith.
Akufuna funa chikhulupiriro chanu.
Are you willing? So let me just give you a summary statement here. Through the Father, through the Christians, trying difficult experiences, and deepening trust in the Lord. These fathers have become more intimately acquainted with God. And purposely invest their lives in the lives of others. And we find that when Abraham was faithful, God was finally able to reproduce and bring many descendants into the world. So you know, in Romans, it actually tells us that we are descendants of Abraham. Because we are the children of faith. God's doing all those things He promised. Now just remember here in this Father stage, God will develop the leaders. Every father is a leader. He might lead poorly, but he's a leader. But when we think about the church, we're thinking about special individuals that have a burden to come and serve in a certain way. We hope that our leaders will come out of this Father stage. But unless we're there, it's hard to train others to be there. What I often find is that we have overburdened pastors. They become ineffective. God wants to raise up more godly leaders. Some of those people will become full-time workers. So this flow keeps going. It's an arrow, a life keeps going. So you have leaders in the church. They'll invest themselves in others. You'll have full-time workers, they'll leave the church. If you have a missionary, go to China. And they'll start churches maybe over here. And the same life cycle goes on. That's the development of the church, development of individuals. What a great calling that each saint has to grow to maturity and keep growing closer to God. So just think in your mind. Am I trying to have more people in the church? Better quality people? Am I meeting more with God? Do I want to know Him more than a great minister? Do I believe that God will help me in my quiet time alone with Him to produce more visible fruit out there? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We don't understand why you would prize us so much. You're so great and mighty. Why do you want a relationship with us? We can't explain that, but Lord, we welcome it. And ask that you would make us strong to grow in your presence, to grow in our faith. And when we meet those crises, always choose you over things. Over reputation. Over greatness. Lord, in you are hidden all the treasures of the world. I ask that you would lead my brothers and sisters faithfully closer to you. That you would raise up a great number of godly men and women. That you would raise up good quality leaders. From Malawi, they would send forth people, good people, men, godly men across the world. Oh Lord, bring your church to meet you more. And we, O Lord, we say, here we are. We desire to know you more. You who are from the beginning. You who have put your love on us. Give grace, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This session. Session 9, Level 3. The Fathers. 1 John 2, 13-14. Explaining how mature Christians establish their faith. Initiating spiritual growth in the church. By Paul Bucknell. Translated from English into Chichewa by Roderick Banda. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom. www.foundationsforfreedom.net. Releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Chitumikile pakati pa antu wonse mbadi ono watsopano.